Open up, back up to Galatians 5, where we were last week, and I wrestled with the idea of finishing this because I called out Josh last week in front of all of you, and I had to call him out out of text and say, next week. So I'm going to finish this week, and then next week we're going to get to that. I'm excited for the word he has, and I'm going to give us a promo. It's a mandate. It's a warning. It's also a blessing for us next week about we want to be a church that bears fruit. We want to be a people that bear fruit. We don't want to just be barren on the branch. When there are branches connected or disconnected, we'll find out. And we'll talk about all that next week. So I still want to get to the fruit part, and I don't think I could do justice. And I told them that I could get through all this and do this and do it all in a week. So guess what? We're going to one more week. So this year, if you've been a part of the journey, we talked a little bit in the first couple weeks about unforgiveness and a little bit about getting our heart right before the Lord and not allowing those offenses to come. And then we also talked about how to deal with them. You know, there's ways when you get offended. And I mentioned the comment last week, and I had a couple people say, you know, I really appreciate hearing that. But when we get offended, it shows our own weakness, not the person who offended you. Correct? Amen? Okay, thank you. Just three of you is fine. That's fine. I don't need all of you, because then you might think I'm saying something right. But what it is offense shows our weakness, not the person who offended you. Because the person who offended you either intentionally or unintentionally did it, most likely unintentionally. Unforgiveness and forgiveness issues deal more with the intentional sins. But offense normally comes when it's not as intentional. It's something that was said or done, maybe an error and mistake, or you took it a certain way, they said it a certain way, whatever. Either way, or they did something and you perceived the wrong thing. But when we get to that point, it shows our own weakness. Jesus warned you, woe to those that are offended. Not the offender. So the warning was be quick to forgive, whether they've offended you or whether they wronged you, forgive them. And then how do you do that? We talked about that. You go and you get before the Lord and you forgive them. Now, if they wronged you and you need to reconcile with them, then you go to them. It's either or. And then this is all review, okay? So that's what we did for the first couple of weeks. We talked about really getting our hearts right with one another. Because if you don't, offense and unforgiveness builds a wall around us, and we feel isolated. We wonder why we can't connect to certain people, or we can't receive acceptance and love from them. Well, you put a wall around yourself. Someone else hurts you, and you're carrying it out of the next relationship, the next one, and you put these walls around yourself where you assume, I hate that word, you assume that it's going to happen again. You are expecting another painful thing. And whether or not, and this, by the way, is the exact opposite of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of your anticipated expectation of hope. And so if we're hoping and anticipating bad, you can see how people, it's very difficult for someone who's walking in those walls and those unforgiveness to walk in faith genuinely before God and say, I'm expecting good things, but in the back of your mind you're going, well, horn is going to get messed over like I did last time. You know, I love it when I'm on a phone. That's all sarcasm. I must be honest. I hate it when I'm on the phone or I'm talking to someone and they give me the right answer. Like, oh, yeah, I'm believing for God for this. But you know, if you look at my track record, I'm pretty much a loser. And you sit there and go, so which one is it? Are you expecting to be a loser and lose out and fail? Or are you expecting for a miracle? And you cannot double speak. A double-minded man is unstable in other ways. James clearly tells us that. Right? So you are unstable. You can't say the right answer and live the wrong answer and expect this to happen. Correct? So this is the way we are. So this year, I just feel like it's re-engaging ourselves to anticipate what God is going to do and is doing and has done that will propel us to go forward. But we got to get rid of these barriers. We got to get rid of these walls. We got to get rid of these things that are holding us back to fulfilling these things. And the series that I think the Connect Groups, Amy is going to be leading the one for the church. And then, because I'm going to be helping out, I think, with the young adults this time. They're stuck with me. And so, but this series, we want to unleash everything God's called to do. But I'm telling you, you got to stop holding yourself back. We're holding ourselves back by not allowing others to have that relationship. If you feel like, I've told us before, I go to my family, I don't really feel accepted there. I go to my church, I go here. You know what? There's one common denominator in every sentence. I have put the walls up. Let's tear those things down. And last week we started talking a little bit about some of the barriers. Well, then we talked about judgments to come. When you started anticipating failure and anticipating pain, you start judging those around you intensely. And then you find yourself even more isolated. We've got to get rid of those things and become united. Then last week we started in Galatians 5. We talked about walking ourselves in a new place of freedom. And so there's two leavens. So verse 9 says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. There are two leavens we're going to talk about. Last week we talked about the leaven of the law, the leaven of legalism. When you focus on works base, I got to do this to get accepted. We care. That doesn't just do with God. It does with our relationships too. Anybody in a relationship where you feel like if you don't perform well enough, your spouse won't love you? That's works based. Now, maybe they've done something to help that, or you've done something to hurt that. Don't get me wrong. Maybe there's a cause for it, but we can't get rid of these mindsets. Because when you live a works-based, you're going to focus on always what you're not doing rather than what you are doing. We've been given the conviction to live a life of righteousness. But what Paul says is that when you live in the law, your focus is sin. So if I'm always trying every day not to sin, that's not grace-based. That's works-based. If every day I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't want to sin today. You know what? Never pray that again. I'll tell you in a minute what to pray. We're going to actually read it to you. Rather than that, Lord, thank you for your grace that empowers me to have the ability to live in victory and be an overcomer today. In my body, in my mind, in my emotions, in my spirit, that I'm an overcomer. And I'm going to live a life and I'm not going to focus on the lack. I'm going to focus on my supply. If I'm struggling with my bills, Lord, I thank you that you are my provider. And I'm looking at the grace that's able. And that's what we closed with last week. Grace, so by grace you are saved by faith. So grace is the ability that God has already given you to succeed. Now faith is your way to seize it. Faith is the grabbing a hold. It's your part of this. Grace has been given to you. For by grace you are saved. Not by works, lest any man should boast. You didn't do nothing to get this thing. This is an amazing gift of salvation. All you had to do is say yes. More than that, but yes, that's it. But you had to receive it by faith. Just like everything in the kingdom of God right now, the way you get healed, the way you're blessed, the way you're saved, the way you forgive, everything is by faith. It's the act of you going forth and grabbing it all of it and trusting God to bring it to pass. You can have as much understanding of grace, but grace without faith will merit nothing. And merit faith without knowing the grace of God, you'll have faith in something, but not someone. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of faith, but God is the source of our grace, our love, our everything. And when you have faith in him, he never fails you, ever fails. So that's the first leaven, is living a life under the law. We talked about this, that your focus becomes sin, and when you become grace, your focus becomes on righteousness. The results of living a works-based gospel, not a grace-based, is that it says this, that you're accepted by God because of your works. But in Ephesians 2, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works. So when you're living a grace-based doctrine and you understand who you are in Christ, you produce good fruit, which we'll talk about a little bit today and next week a lot. So a works-based mentality is the old pattern. And I told you this last week, I hate the term spirit religion because we use it as like now the pattern of but it's really not. Because religion is in James, it finds it as pure, undefiled relationship with God, who helping the widows and the orphans. But it becomes a form of legalism. When you live a life of legalism, even it gets in the church. Paul says this. So we're going to pick. Last week we left off with a little 11, 11 is a whole lump. Let's start in verse 10, and we'll start with this, and then I'm going to transition into this week. I have confidence in verse 10 of chapter 5 of Galatians. I have confidence in you that through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but that troubled you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why am I still suffering persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? So the point, if I stop preaching circumcision, why am I still getting persecuted? Because the cross is the one that's being offended. People are getting offended more by the message of the cross. But we got to get rid of all that little leaven of legalism out of our way so we can focus just on the cross. This is this. Verse 12. I would they would even be cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, You have been called into freedom, liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Stop there for a second. So, as we transitioned from last week to this week, there's a warning for every one of us, and that is, as we live a life of grace, grace before God, not works-based, your love ought to be so genuine by God that you're loving one another. And if this is you that are biting and devouring one another, we got to stop. Because in the bottom, the fruit of it is, when you start doing that to others, you yourself be the one devoured. You know, I can tell you this. When you're around people who constantly want to gossip and slander or divide, it's so much, only so much that you want to be around before you realize, you know what, I'm not really enjoying this conversation very much. Or you leave the conversation feeling like a knot in your gut, like, wow, I really don't know what good was done from that. I think we all can fall prey. Let's just be real. I think we all can fall prey to gossip, okay? I think it's simple. We hear something, we observe something, we think we're saying something that from a genuine. There's times where I have spoken later, and later when they walked away and they go, I don't think everything I said that was, I don't know if I said that the right, I'm not sure if it came out. You know, you, those are common things we do in life, and we've got to curb that. It's not saying it's okay, we're not justifying it. I'm saying we ought to put a better guard on our own mouths that we're not being used as more divisiveness in the church. Doesn't need it. I was reading an article yesterday about a church in Tennessee, and a big mega church, and they found out last year there was a situation that took place with staff. They assumed some things about him they didn't really appreciate, but he lied, he covered up. And the long and the short of it is, by the end of last year, a video surfaced of this pastor who's been carrying along a two-year affair with one of his employees. And she was married to someone in the church. He was married with three kids. And it both ended in divorce. The church is shut down. You know what? What's really sad about this, this is what the world sees. And the article I read was by a very, I won't mention the name of the newspaper because they also write a lot of things about supporting the other side that I don't agree with in general. But the whole thing was this church focused in on money and healing and this and this. So now what happens is what gets lost? The message. The message because of one man's actions. And, you know, what happens is I really believe, and I don't know the church involved. I didn't even never heard of the church until yesterday, okay? I'm not big into following mega churches. I don't know. I didn't even know the name of the church. I think I remember it now, but it doesn't matter. But I read the article because I was saddened to think 4,000 people or whatever it was in multiple campuses. And this was a statement that was written. Many parishioners who attend that church said, if that's my experience with God, I think I don't want another one. We, as a church, present the gospel to people. Despite of us, in spite of us, we have to still show. And there are people out there in Martinsville that stopped going to a church because they got hurt. They didn't like what was said. Or maybe they witnessed some things because church is not always fun. When you get in the inner workings of it, there's to argue. There's people that disagree. And when you get into that mode, it's easy for you to be disenchanted with the church and take it out on God. If I fail, which I'm not planning on it, I've been here 20, this is my 26th year, I'm not planning on failing, I'm not planning on doing anything I shouldn't be doing, so I'm not setting myself up for anything but success with the kingdom. But I am not your source, and I should not be your focus, but I should be an example. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. If your eyes get off of Christ, you're following. And so I love the example that I used to draw when I had my whiteboard. You see Christ, and you see the leadership or whoever you put in your life, and you see them through the eyes of seeing the bigger picture, which is God himself. You should never, ever look at, if your focus stops at me, then readjust your lenses because they need to look greater through the eyes of God and the eyes of this. This ought to be. I love the fact that I can go into men's group on Monday night and Mike Poe look at me and go, I got a question for something you said yesterday. You know what? And I just thank him for it. And I don't thank him for it. I'm like, I have to first talk to him. But I leave there excited. Why? Because somebody's listening enough and they know the word enough that they know that I'm not the ultimate on it, but they want to know why it was said. Paul says this in Acts 17. Now the Bereans were of more noble character, for they examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. Now, folks, if a church is looking at the guy who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament and they're wondering, hey, is this guy right? How much more should we be students diligent of knowing this so well that we don't just take something at face value because we like the preacher on TV or the radio or even our, yes, right here. We have to learn to be a Berean and study it out. So anyways, so the second leaven we're going to get to right now is this. We've been instructed as we walk through the first, get out of legalism, get out of law, and focus on the grace that God's given us so we can become all we're called to be. But secondly, the biggest hindrance now is we have got to get rid of the sinful, fleshly desires that still want to wage war against you every day. The next few verses are going to tell us this. Let's read verses 16 through 21. This I say then, if you want to stop devouring, stop living under that way, the only way you can live a life of freedom, right here, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under that law, that legalism, that I have to do this. I don't want to sin. I'm no longer under compulsion to not to do or to do, but I'm living under a spirit of grace. Now the works of the flesh, this is what we're trying to avoid. Let's go through these. I normally like to skip them, but let's have some fun today. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, sexual sin; fornication, sexual sin; uncleanness, sexual sin; lasciviousness, that's unbridled lust, sexual sin. I'm not sure if you see a pattern here. You see a pattern? I mean, I just the one verse laying out the first few. If you realize that the inundated media coverage of whether, no matter what type of sexual orientation you want to talk about today, or what gender there is, do you not realize the Bible already said that the works of the flesh, the first four or five they start out with, is all about sexualness, sexuality in the world? This is a driving force that we can undermine the Bible by saying sex outside of marriage is okay. We can undermine the Bible by saying, you know what, marriage is kind of archaic, it's old fashioned. If you just live together and you love each other, love is love. Let's let it happen. Oh, then love is love. In that case, you can love your dog now because we're only one step away from that being legal, and that's okay now too. And then, you know, actually, you know what? Not only can we have same-sex marriage and we can have some bestiality, while we're at it, let's go ahead in California and allow that those people who are older and they really, really are drawn to that younger crowd, pedophilia, that's okay too because you got to love who you love. Folks, this is nothing more than disgusting. And yet, if you look clearly, the P has already been put on the LGBT thing long. I mean, I don't know how many more letters they got in the alphabet to put on this thing, but pretty much, if you can imagine it being bad, it's going to be on that description somewhere. And I'm not trying to be a jerk because I told you I want to be a church who loves every person and brings them into the kingdom of grace and mercy and love that God has for them. But the more we justify it, the more we say it's okay. Like I was in... Poor Justin was with me the other day. I've told the story before, but it's fun. It really isn't. Actually, it's not fun. One of the jobs that I get to do is there's one of the people I get to deal with is an ordained minister. He was in our military. We'll leave the branch alone because I don't want anyone to pick on that. And he was a chaplain for them. And this guy is as homosexual as they come. He's got a dancing business. He's got a sex toy unit. This guy is you talk about, he defines everything you do, like, oh. And so the other day he asked me, he knows I'm a pastor. I walk in, he goes, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. I'm going to leave it at that. I'll stop trying to, I go, oh, great. And I said his name, like, what do you want now? Because he's so fun. And he goes, what do you think about the rapture? I go, that's the least of my worries right now. I'm thinking, let me go ahead and fix the hole in the wall there and I'll be okay and out of here. But I said, you know what? I absolutely think that Jesus is coming back to a spotless bride, and I want to be that. I want to be the who he's coming back for. And he says, me too. I look at it this way, and this man preaches the gospel to me better than probably some of you in this room. I'm at work, my other job. He knows my view. We had a long talk one night about my view and his lifestyle. I said, I love you, brother. I just don't agree with your lifestyle. I think the Bible clearly pulls it out there as sinful, and so therefore, just like anybody else, whether it's a heterosexual or a homosexual, living a life that is ungodly, I believe it will be judged by the Word, not by me. And so I'm not going to judge you, but the Word will condemn the actions. And therefore, so as I sat there and listened to it, here's the sad thing. This man can preach the gospel, and he does it all the time. Yet, out of the other mouth, he's got a, whew, it's interesting. We live in this world today where compromise is everywhere. And it's not a mistake that the first list of these are all sexual sins. Folks, we live in a world that's sex inundated. Your children are being taught stuff that, did you see the thing this week where, what's your guy that you always listen to? One of you told me about him. Anyways, Matt Walsh, or one of the guys that, you know, the conservative groups that I listen to a lot. Well, they went to the school board meeting and they got kicked out because, come on, somebody told me this. Lisa told me at dinner. Who? She's not here. She's driving home from Georgia. Okay, so, but either way, it's one of the names you all recognize. But going into a school board meeting and they got kicked out, he put a banner, a brochure together of all the things that, what? John Rich. That's right. I just heard him speak. On last Tuesday, I heard John Rich speak. That's right. It was the same guy. So John Rich went to a school, and if you don't know him, he's a country musician, a singer, part of Big and Rich, and he's also a entrepreneur. He's a Christian, call it that. Anyways, after hearing him speak for 2 hours there a day, amazing, put tears in your eyes. But at the end, you want him to walk it out even a little bit more. His dad is a pastor. But John Rich went to a school board meeting, and he said, and they wouldn't let him speak. They said, you absolutely not. You cannot get it. So he goes out instead and puts a billboard together of everything that is absolutely horrible. And he goes to the chief of police of the town and says, I got a question. If I said this to you right here, what would you do? He goes, I'd put your butt in jail. He said, good. Go bring this to the school board because that's what they're teaching our children every day. Sexual this. And he goes, are you kidding me? He goes, look. And he goes, here's. And he gave him a behind. Because I went and looked at it later. I just forgot who it was. But anyways, he gave him the reasons of why he made that. Folks, we don't know what our children are being taught. We don't know what's being pushed by an agenda that's greater than liberal or conservative. This has been pushed for years before that. Before America was founded on Republicans and Democrats, this was still a problem. And as a church, we have got to start standing up and teaching your children sex education. Your children need to learn that what the one male, one female, God created and had them together in the biblical view of marriage. It's being deteriorated every day of our lives. Okay, let's keep reading. But anyway, but in your life, how does it affect you? It says this, when you walk in the Spirit, you won't feel the lust of the flesh. Let's be honest. Pornography is rampant. I mean, I got a phone on me. Thankfully, a lot of you hopefully have filters and stuff on it, but I hope you do. If you don't, put one on because you don't want the temptation out there for your children. But then right here, you can look at anything. 25 years ago, if you wanted to get into that type of lifestyle, you had to spend money or hide real well. Now you just open up your phone and look at whatever you want. How do you avoid that? Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. How do you not lust after things and look at what you should? You walk in the Spirit. Let's keep reading. All right. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you. Now, let me just stop. So envy, anger, murder, all that. This is where we struggle in America. Anger is in this list. Envy is in this list. Oh, I skipped a verse. I was like, wait a minute, I'm missing something here. Verse 20, go back there. I'm like, wait a minute, why that wasn't that short. This list is long. Idolatry. What is idolatry? Anything you put self-worth or value in above God. Your children can become idols in your life. Your job can become an idol. Money can become an idol. Things can become an idol. Anything that you put value in that is higher than the place of God in your life can and is become an idol. And it's a source of idolatry. God wants to be number one. And the enemy wants other things. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Didn't say money is the root of evil. The love of money. And you know, the problem is when God blesses you with money, don't fall in love with it, because I guarantee you'll find evil in your life. It's the love of that. Money is not evil, folks. I don't believe so at all. Witchcraft as control. Hatred. I don't want to hate those that disagree. I mean, as I said the last few weeks, it seems like driving has become part of the theme the last few weeks about people driving in the fast lane. I still try to hate them. When they're in the passing lane, I got to go around. I just don't want to hate people. But hate is the opposite of what God calls to do, is love. You can't love somebody and yet hold something against them. Variance is strife or debating. It's someone who's always constantly wanting to debate you about something. It's just divisive. Emulations, jealousy, wrath, anger, strife, causing more chaos and confusion around you. Seditions, which is division. Heresies, which is factions and divide. It's really divisible through doctrine, through words. It's not just biblical, but heresies is divisible through the things that you believe. Envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelings. So as you go through this list, there's a lot of things on there, but the theme is this: angry, divisive, sexual, jealous, focus on pleasing me and dividing others. When as the acts of the flesh, these are the works of the flesh, when you are not living in the Spirit, these things will want to find activity in your life. If any of you right now are, you know, if you're out there working on a car or working on your, some of you love to work on your house or whatever, you're doing something that requires you to actually, you know, allow yourself to get frustrated when it doesn't go well, does that anger overcome you in such a way that you want to, like, throw something? That's your flesh, that it's not good. But it didn't start there. It started with you getting angry somewhere and more. Anger is a progression that will lead to, I'm telling you, just as lust leads to adultery, anger leads to murder. You understand that? I'm not saying you're going to kill somebody, and I'm not saying you're going to commit adultery. I'm saying if you don't bridle it here, it will lead to something more. Anger, and it's funny, the ending of marriage, besides money, which is in that list too, but anger and sexual sin, abuse, and adultery will end more marriages than almost anything else except fighting about money, which I think that can fall into a lot of that. If you want to see a downfall in your marriage, don't bridle those two, and you'll find out quickly how well you guys are going to get along. You cannot let anger and you cannot let lust into your life at any capacity, even if it's this little, because a little leaven will leaven the whole relationship. You allow that unforgiveness, which allows anger and resentment to kick in there, you'll find yourself yelling, screaming, saying what you shouldn't be saying. Next thing you know, you're hitting something, maybe not them. And then it becomes more. The progression only goes somewhere that's wrong. We have got to bridle this. And the way to bridle it is by allowing the Holy Spirit to come and control those things in our life, because you can't manage it. I'm telling you, you cannot have anger management is a joke. Holy Spirit management is awesome. Now, I'm not saying there's not ways to deal with anger. That's not a joke. Trust me. You need to learn how to deal with it before it deals with you, just like sexual sin. These are the works of the flesh that you will live out if you do not live by the Spirit. These are the little pieces of leaven that gets in there, a little frustration with your friend, a little anger over here, a little opened over here, something I shouldn't watch, and next thing you know, you're thinking of it later, and then you find this disconnect. And you know, for someone who's read many books over the years on relationships and this, you know, the byproduct of pornography isn't addiction to pornography. That's terrible. The byproduct of it is isolating yourself from your spouse. Do you realize that? Unless if your spouse is joining in with you and that becomes another problem, which we won't go into now, because then that becomes the new fad. It's, we do it together. You're still allowing something in your bedroom that's unholy. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But the part is, if you're doing it by yourself, it brings shame. And then now you're supposed to have an intimate encounter with your spouse. Guess what? There's blockages there. Because deep down, you've committed an unfaithful act when they're not around. I'm telling you, you got to curb these things now. If you don't block them when they're small, they will turn to something more. And you'll find yourself divided and isolated in anger or resentment or sexual sin or whatever, divisiveness, and you'll find yourself dividing everyone around you, and you'll see yourself, just like we talked about week one of unforgiveness, you'll see yourself alone, isolated, and not being able to connect to people. I want this year to be a year where you connect and get rid of all these bondages in your life, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's offense, whether it's legalism, or whether it's letting the flesh work its ugly desires out in you to divide you from the people around you. We have got to pull these walls out of our life and no longer allow any occasion of the flesh, no matter what it might be. Just a little word. I didn't mean to talk about my friend that way. I wasn't trying to be mean to Pastor Kenny when he spoke the other day. I just didn't agree. Listen, go to him. Don't talk about him. Go to me. Don't talk about me. Go to them. Go to your friend. Because when you do that, that's when restoration comes and clarification comes, which sometimes is more important. Amen? All right, that was the fun part. Now the good part. Ready? Let's see. Whew. Okay, let's keep reading this. And then, by the way, this is what I really like. It says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like these. Just in case yours wasn't on the list, add it to it now. What is the flesh-like thing that you struggle with? Guess what? It will come up in your life as a little seed, and it will bear a lot of fruit in your life. We're talking about being fruitful this year, and this is the fruit we don't want. This is the fruit that will destroy you. This is the fruit that will isolate you. This is the fruit that will take you down and not allow you to be fruitful for the kingdom. So let's get rid of these things. Then it says, and such like these, and which I tell you before, I have told you in times past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The worst fruit of that is complete isolation from God. We cannot afford. It's not a game. Christianity is not a joke. We live for Christ. We get led by the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And as we do these things, we walk these things out because we know. We know. All right. Verse 22. Now the good stuff. Whew. He made it through the hard part. But the fruit of the Spirit. Why is the word but there? We just talked about if you live by the Spirit, you won't fulfill those things. And here are all the bad things you're not going to fulfill. But if you choose to be filled with the Spirit, look at this. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such thing, there is no law. You don't have to be taught this. Going back to, leaven number one, there's no law for this. I can't teach you how to love. I can't teach you how to have patience, trust me. I can use a little bit some days myself. I can't teach you faith. I can teach you the word. But you know what? These are the fruits of the Spirit. This is the fruits of God. This is what comes out when you're being led by the Spirit. He will lead you into patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Why? That you know what? As you keep going and you learn how to go through the trial the first time, you will see what patience is by seeing victory on the other side. Perseverance is something that you learn by persevering. But how? By being led by the Spirit through it. The way you love is when somebody wrongs you, you engage yourself deeper in the things of the Spirit. I could teach you all day about agape love and phileo love and this love and that love and loving your wife, loving your family, loving God, loving this. Or I could just tell you this, if you want to be a lover of people and a lover of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he will love through you in ways, and you'll be walking away from somebody and go, how did that happen? I love to share you. I won't share any today, but I love the fact that a quick story. We were in Nashville this week at a seminar, and when I was there the last night, a bunch of people got together. And before that, though, I was at a store, and I like to shop too. Don't get me wrong. So I'm at a store for the company that was putting it on there, and I was looking, and I said, I got a question. So I asked the lady, hey, this is my account. What do I have? She said, oh, you got all. Oh, I could spend a lot of my day for free. So I got excited, and as I got talking, the conversation just evolved like it always does. I don't know why I get myself in this. And before you know it, I've got the entire, because it was during a breakout session, Justin went off the session. I decided to go shop instead. You work, I play. That's fine. And so next thing you know, there's no one in there. The bookstore, everyone comes over. And I had the privilege and the blessing of five employees to hear my testimony about my wife and my family and about Jesus and how he changed my life. And I got a chance, and I have two of them bawling their eyes out at their. And later on that night, we left. The closing ceremony was at a local place downtown Nashville. We went over to a restaurant we like, Blake Shelton's restaurant. We're sitting there. And that group of people were there. And you know, I'm saying, and all of a sudden, Justin and I were sitting there. And this girl starts running, like, hey, like, who are you? Yeah, I'm married, leave me alone. What are you? And I realized it was the group that I met with a couple days earlier. And you know what's really amazing? That night, the privilege of being able to take it. And this girl says it to me. She's like, I called my husband and I said, why can't I have that type of excitement about my family and everything in my life? But he had an excitement about God that I've never. And I said, you just hit it. The reason I can love my wife and my family and be where I am now is because I have a relationship with God. And you know, it doesn't matter what setting you're in, whether you're with down in Nashville, if you can live out your faith every day, you'll never know what encounters you'll have. And I didn't know what was, here I am talking, and it started out, by the way, it started out talking about something silly that opened up a door to talk about it. Why? Because I truly believe if you guys are led by the Spirit, that you'll say things and you're like, why did I say that? And later on it comes around. Last night we were at the what do you call that, home show, and I didn't really want a new mattress. And my pillow guy was there, you know, my pillow. Just saying, I want to support a good cause. So I thought, my pillow guy it is. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I said, do you guys sell mattresses? Because you got your pillows and your slippers and your sheets and your blankets. What don't you have? Yes, we have mattresses. Well, while I'm talking mattresses, the girl who was there because her dad had eye surgery, you know, it's a very Christian company. You do know that. I mean, is almost in tears talking to Beth and the lady that Beth was with. And that lady's not a Christian, by the way. And she said, woke up this morning and said, Dad, I really feel like I've been praying that God's going to, I guess they want to sell mattresses. I don't know. We're going to sell mattresses today. And her dad's like, oh, you know, whatever, calm down. You know, okay, if you say so type of thing. She's, no, I'm believing for that. I'm believing that God, I want to sell some mattresses. And so I walk up there and I ask about mattresses. And she looks at her dad. We didn't know what was going on because they're having these weird looks amongst the girls and the girls. And this other guy, we're sitting there like, I don't know what they're talking about. We just want to buy a mattress. And so at the end of the day, they walk away and they stop me because they knew I was a pastor. And they said, we've been praying and we were just looking just as a testimony about God's grace. We knew that God spoke to us this morning. And it's 8 o'clock at noon. It's closed in 30 minutes. They haven't sold the mattress all day. And you come and we sell too. You know what? This morning, I just want you to know it reaffirmed my faith that I heard God speak this morning that we were going to sell a mattress. It might not be silly. It's not like we make any more money. We sell a lot of pillows. But it just did something for me as a believer to say that I felt like I heard the Lord tell us we're going to sell a mattress today. You know, we have no idea where you're led and, hey, I'm going to get a mattress out of it, so I'm okay because I hate the one we have. So I just want to. These are just fun. I told you I like to tell stories. I love stories. But you know what? It should be our story every day. No matter where you go, if you're being led by the Spirit, you ought to find those opportunities to bring the gospel in every conversation you have. You ought to be able to live the gospel in such a way that they're envious, in a good way, of what you got because they see the life, the love, the joy that you have in your relationship with God and your family and your relationships around you, that it is a testimony to them. The testimony is bigger than just your words. It's them observing you in the setting you're in, and then that's what it means. Being filled with the Spirit. We are a Spirit-filled church. In just a minute, I'm going to invite you to come down. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to get that chance here in a few minutes. But let me tell you, more importantly, the Holy Spirit is more than speaking in tongues. He, the Godhead, Holy Spirit, he wants to indwell you every day to fill you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. He wants to fill you with these things that you have self-control when you normally wouldn't have it, but the Holy Spirit is engaged inside of you, and it gives you, and you're like, how did I get through that? It wasn't you. It was the God in you that's a part of you and dwelling inside of you that's giving you faith to believe when someone's like, I don't know if I can believe for that. I can, and boom. The spirit of faith rises up inside of you, and you begin to declare things, and at the end of the day, you're like, wow, that was pretty awesome. Anybody ever walk away going, you walk away, and you're amazed at what you just did? Well, that wasn't you. It was the God in you. And when we can understand that's how you live a victorious life over legalism, that's how you live a victorious life over sin, you let the God inside of you bring you no longer abstaining from these things, but releasing the power of God through your life every day. The joy, I mean, you know, When's the last time you walked through a room and felt joy? Not often. I'm talking out there. What if you were the ambassador of joy? What if they saw the joy of God in your life and go, I want that. Why is he different? Why is she different? Because the Holy Spirit is to lead you into all these things. And this is the fruit of believers. Now, let me read. These are, I have a lot of favorite verses, as you guys have known for the years. This is my favorite verse. These are some of my last three favorite verses. Now, verse 24. I love this. And they, which is every one of you that is born again, this is you, okay? This is not a hypothetical question. This is if you are a Christian. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. How do you get rid of the lusts of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. So they're saying, if you are Christ, you already have crucified your flesh with its passions and desires. So the way that we overcome passion and desire of the flesh, or even this, by the way, let's take this down to positive. All those sins that we mentioned a minute ago, the fruits of the flesh, you know another one of the fruits of the flesh? Is misery. Have you ever, some of you right now, have an onslaught of thoughts in your head every day? I would really do, and I mean this in the most respectful, loving way possible, and I'm saying this in the most respectful, loving way possible that I can. But I would hate to be in your head having to fight some of the thoughts that some of you fight every day. The unbridled mind is one of the most dangerous places the enemy has in your life. The thought comes, you think it's true, because it's affections, it's lust, it's passions and desires grab a hold of you like you think it's a reality, right? Anybody with me? And that reality becomes a mindset, then it becomes emotional, and then it becomes factual when it's all based in what? A lie. How many times we let ourselves go down that slippery slope of a cycle of allowing something being said or done, a thought entering, an action observed, or whatever might trigger that for 1 minute, once it gets in there, that downward spiral, and I'm telling you, these are the fruits of the flesh. I love this. They that are Christ have crucified, put to death that flesh with its passions and desires. I want to, you know what, I don't want to ever, and I'm going to speak this over all of you if you let me. I don't want to ever feel one more passion and desire that's flesh-based, carnal-based. Not me. I want to be passion, desire, and everything. I want in the world I live in, with, but not with my old nature. I don't want to ever feel the way I did about sin ever again in my life. I don't want to ever feel that way about something negative in my life. I want to put to death once and for all its passions and desires, that those things that were crucified with Christ, they need to die there, and so does the emotions attached to it. I don't want to ever live that way again. Declare that for yourself. That miserable pattern of thinking that times, it happens to me too. I don't get the response, or I'm waiting on something. I get frustrated, and I start letting my mind go there. I'm not preaching at you. I have to deal and take this captive myself. So don't get me wrong. There's just as much me here as it is you, okay? We have to learn to be disciplined and letting those affections, because it feels real. Doesn't it feel real? It feels really real. When I'm thinking something that I think is real and then allow my emotions to follow it, I feel that I think it's really real. I'm thinking and feeling it's very, very real. And I'm seeing such a reality. By the time I've let my mind go through it, I've got a knot in my gut. I've lost my peace. And peace is a fruit of the Spirit. So I've just pulled away everything, which now I know the thought originated not from God, because God would not give me turmoil. God would never put me through that, because he wants me to have peace. Therefore, something disconnected inside of me, and I got to take it, I got to get rid of it, because I'm tired of living a miserable cycle of the flesh. This isn't just the lust, the anger. This is us taking thoughts captive and not allowing our emotions to run wild. And then now a day, a two, three go by, and now we've patterned our whole world. And then we get the phone call on day three. Oh, my goodness, you'll never believe. And all of a sudden, it just like hits me. Oh, everything's okay. And you get a peace. But that's not the peace you should have got. The peace you should have got was day one. Are you tired of giving up 3 days of your life in misery because you didn't discipline yourself up front? I am. I'm tired of living a life of allowing the enemy footholds in my life because I didn't take the thought captive immediately. I didn't take the do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind needs to be transformational in everything we believe. If not, we are going to see ourselves on that downward slope of misery, and I hate it. I hate it for you. I hate it for me. Let's stop this. Those that are in Christ have crucified those things with its passions and desires. If we live, here we go. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. If we're living by the Spirit, we're living a life of encouraging people, not destroying people. We're bringing life around those. I want to be a Spirit-filled church that lives out a Spirit-filled, fruitful church. Next week, we're going to talk about bearing fruit. And I think they'll end it, and I think Kenny's got another, you got seven churches, so how many of them? A handful of churches to go through still in Revelation and to get him in 4 weeks. And then I don't want to ruin the surprise, but and he's got a series working on that I think will take him a little while. I'm excited about it. And I told him, I'll take the month of January, then you have whatever you want. Last time we did a series, it was like 18 weeks. So I'm not really sure. I'm not sure what I signed up for here, but he's laughing over there because when we talked, it took him about an hour just to tell me all the stuff he's getting. I'm like, oh, wow. If it's an hour in prep, this could be like 12 hours of teaching. But you know what? You're hearing it from me right now. He can have all 12 weeks. I don't care. Because all we care about is the word gets put out here. And the message of grace, which hint, that you're going to be hearing is going to be awesome. And but I want you to I want to finish this up first. This year, we're setting a precedent. We want to be a church that's getting rid of those things that's hindering us, holding us back, and pressing into the prize that's ours. And you can't do it with sin, fleshly living. You can't do it under law. And you can't do it with forgiveness, unforgiveness, and all those things we've talked about. Next week, let's talk about how to connect ourselves and be fruitful in every aspect of our life. Amen? So, worship team, hey, you might as well come on up again. I was just about to close in prayer, but I'm going to drink water instead. I will say something. So, as you see on the front row, a bright yellow sweatshirt. Yeah, I just want you to know that we are going to go embarrass ourselves today. We are going down about 20 miles from here, and we're going to be watching the, unless if a miracle takes place, the team I've watched the last couple of months that we root for up north is heading down south and some friends of ours decided, oh, you're Michigan fans, we'll give you tickets. And I begged not to go, but we're going down to the game today. So please, as you're down there, have mercy, Mike, as you guys, all you IU fans, love to pick up. Did you got your IU sweatshirt on? Oh, you're good. IU, good. So IU, Michigan today. So all the text messages can fly later. That's fine. And if we win by a slight chance, if any, this year, you guys can smile and say, hey, at least they enjoyed a victory down. And that's a hard place to play down Assembly Hall. It's a great, I've been to many games there. But anyways, we're heading down there today. That's why you see her supporting our team. I'm going to just go ahead and stay neutral. I'm wearing a blue sweatshirt. But either way, now that they've had a chance to get up there, you're good? Okay. That was just a commercial for me having fun today. But hey, let's stand up and do this. If you've never received, and this is something, if you're new here, if you're a visitor, I'm not sure if Kenny invited you. Thank you for coming. But if you're new here, thanks for coming out with us this morning. We are a Spirit-filled church. What does that mean? We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that once you're born again, you have received the seal of the Holy Spirit, which seals you to the day of redemption. You are born again. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So I'm not one of the people who preach. Come on up here and get the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, you have him. He is a part of you. He seals you. He loves you. And everything you see can happen. But there is a step in Acts 2. The Holy Spirit came upon them when they were already praying. They're already believers. They're already living this out. And he filled them with power from on high. That is the thing that I want every one of you to understand. A Spirit-filled church isn't just talking about the things. It's allowing yourself to be empowered by God to go do the things we're called to do. If you've never received that, you've never spoken in tongues, you've never felt like I've really received the baptism of the Spirit, as the prayer team comes up here in just a minute, I want to encourage you, if we live by the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, and we're empowered by the Spirit, we will not be living the life of the flesh. Some of you are struggling. Maybe you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but you're not walking out. Come on up here and get a fresh, have someone pray for you, a fresh filling. And someone asked, Charles Finney years ago, and said, or maybe it was D.L. Moody, one of the old time preachers, and said, I don't understand why I got to get filled. Because you leak. The word be filled means, it's in the Greek, it's called the aorist tense. It means be filled, 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 continually filled. Why? Because if you're giving it out and you're living it out, you got to keep getting put in. It's like a pitcher. I can fill this. Once I'm done with this water, I got to fill it up again. Once you give it out, you got to keep going. You got to keep getting filled. Stay under the waterfall so you can have more to give out, not only to others, but giving yourself in a place of victory. So, Father, we thank you this morning that the Holy Spirit lives and abides in every one of us, but you long for us to have more, to be empowered by you in areas to be overcomers, to live in grace, to live in faith, to live in victory. And I pray today that every person walking out here will know that the key to their victory is by allowing you, Holy Spirit, to fill us and empower us to walk this out. We pray that today in Jesus' name.